Check, check, check. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody here this morning.
Amen.
And we'd like to welcome our visitors.
Amen.
Our visitors here with us and our visitors out there in Never Never Land. We're glad you could all tune in this morning. Welcome to the regular worship service of the Lexington Christian Church in beautiful metropolitan downtown Lexington, Indiana. We have no important announcements this morning, except we want to give a vote of thanks to everyone who was involved in the prayer vigil over 24 hours Saturday, and we need to keep on.
Amen.
As we have been praying, let us continue praying.
Yes.
For our nation, our friends, our enemies. Our nation. Do we have any birthdays this week? Kathy? Everett? Anybody else? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Anniversaries. Mike and Polly, anybody else? Who, where? Oh. On your left, Freddie. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Having so much fun watching Freddie, I almost forgot to sing. Oh, let's praise the Lord this morning.
Amen.
First off, by turning number 7, Great is the Lord. Let's stand and sing.
Great is the Lord, He is holy and just, by His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true, by His mercy He proves He is love. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory, great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, now lift up your voice. Now lift up your voice. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. He is holy and just, by His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true, by His mercy He proves He is love. Great are You, Lord, and worthy of glory. Great are You, Lord, and worthy of praise. Great are You, Lord, I lift up my voice, I lift up my voice.
Number 169, I need thee every hour.
Our Father and God, truly You are great. Your name causes all of hell to tremble. And Your name causes us to revere and awe, because we know that You are the God who created all that exists and sustains all the same. You truly are great. And so we come to You because we need You every hour. We need You every minute. We need You every second. Lord, I cry out because right now our nation, America, needs You greatly. We need You. We need You to come and to act. Lord, we confess that our nation has failed You. We confess that our nation has become rampant in sin, worshiping many false idols. Lord, we have killed millions of unborn babies. Forgive us, Lord. Have mercy. Lord, we have become worse than Israel. And we know what happened to Israel, and we pray, dear God, that you have mercy so that that does not happen to our nation. Please do not let our enemy come and take us captive. Lord, heal our land. Start this revival right now, right here, in me and in this congregation. Lord, move. Have your way and your will. In Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Our Father,
in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now you may be seated. As we prepare our hearts and minds to join in the Lord's Supper, first off, if you have not picked up the emblems from the tray in the back, well, now would be a good time to do it. While prepare to sing number 257. Near the Cross.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star sheds its beams around. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its sins before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross I watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach that golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever, till rest beyond the river.
Amen. Brother Jim Rominger has our communion meditation this morning.
The meditation I chose this morning was written by Norm Wilson and also Billy Graham. Said, while I was in college, our choir toured throughout Virginia. We stopped to sightsee at some caverns in the Blue Ridge Mountains. In a large room called the Cathedral, we viewed incredibly beautiful formations and sang, "How Great Thou Art." Then the guide turned off the lights. He stood in total darkness, unable to see our hands before our faces. Although we stood in the midst of some of the most unusual beauty in the world, we were totally blind to it all. The person who has not been born again is in darkness. Amen. All around him are beauty and splendor, but he cannot see the reality of the kingdom of God. And may even deny that it exists. A buzzard flying over fields of flowers sees only a dead animal he wants for food. What we are determines what we see.
Amen.
We also see what we are interested in. The Pharisees were blind to Jesus and his wonderful teachings and miracle works. They were interested only in themselves. When the blind man was healed by Jesus, he saw much better than the blind Pharisees who criticized the miracle.
Amen.
Spiritual blindness is a lot more serious than physical blindness. Billy Graham said, "The world says that all we need to do is be decent, respectable, and reasonable." True, that is all one needs to do to be a member of the great society. But to be a member of the kingdom of God, there must be an inner change. A communist in Hyde Park, London, pointed to a tramp and said, "Communism will put a new suit on that man." A Christian standing nearby said, "Yes, but Christ will put a new man in that suit." What do you see? John chapter 9, verses 41 says, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains."
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, help us not to be blinded by the material things of this world.
Yes.
Help us to look to and for the spiritual things that make us better servants of Christ.
Yes.
As we prepare to go to the feast at your table, let us remember your great sacrifice for our sins.
Yes.
We ask forgiveness for our sin.
Yes.
And ask for your strength. Help us to be the light of this world through your Spirit. Amen.
When Jesus and his disciples were gathered around the table to eat the Passover meal, Jesus took bread and broke it, and giving thanks, passed it among them, saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat of it, all of you." And when they had eaten, he took the cup, blessed it, passed it among them and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me until I come again. Drink of it, all of you." Let's stand for the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen. Let's remain standing and turn to number 68. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord.
Special this morning.
It's open our eyes, Lord.
Scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. The yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. "Be careful," Jesus said to them. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." They discussed this among themselves and said, "It is because we didn't bring any bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You of little faith, why are you talking among yourself about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000, and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread, but be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees?" Then they understood. But he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? Well, and I think that our 24-hour day of prayer, global day of prayer, actually, instead of just national. I know we had several that came and prayed, some from our church, some from New Bethel. Place was busy most of the time, so praise the Lord. We kept the doors open and all the lights on and everything going so that everyone could come and participate at their own free will. And so I trust that everyone else that was signed up prayed at home. And we know that God hears every prayer. Every prayer. And so we are claiming his promise, 2 Chronicles 7:14, "My people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent of their sins and turn to me. I will heal their land." So we're looking for the healing. Let it start here, Lord, right now, Jesus' name. All right. As we continue on here in our study of Matthew, this pericope is specifically about the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, who in here cooks? Makes bread? Anybody make bread? What does the yeast do for the bread? Makes it rise up. Now, you think about that principle, and he's telling them to beware of their yeast. What is pride? Pride is when you rise up to the top, when you stand up taller than everybody else. You think more of yourself than everyone else, than anyone else. So the yeast is symbolic of pride and arrogance. And we see that so plainly in the lives that is recorded in the Bible of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They are constantly chastising Jesus for the things that he did.
And ultimately, they schemed and planned to have him killed. Why? Because they were jealous. They were envious. Here comes this new rabbi, this young boy coming along, and all of a sudden, all the attention that they're used to getting is now going to him. People are beginning to listen to him because he's got a little different message than they have. And the people notice that when he speaks with authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. In other words, he didn't make reference to, well, Rabbi so-and-so says, and Rabbi so-and-so says. No, he said, this is what the scripture says. This is what you've been told it says. And this is what I say. And he took things even a step further than did the rabbi's teaching of that day. Just for example, you know, he talked about lust. When you look at a member of the opposite sex and you lust for them, you have committed the sin of adultery already. So he's saying that even without the physical act, just the thought is sinful. That's the reason why we're told in another place that even our thoughts are to be kept captive to the Holy Spirit. We don't let our mind wander. You know, there for a long time, and still in some places, there's a false teaching by these gurus about emptying your mind. Well, I think they succeeded. anyone who follows that, they have succeeded. When your target is nothing, you hit it every time, right? So here we have this false teaching about emptying your mind, but Jesus' teaching says, fill your mind with my word. Fill your heart with my love. Fill your life with acting out my compassion. Isn't that the message that he wants from us instead of the pretense of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Oh, I go to the best church. We have the biggest number of people. We have the biggest budget of any other church. And you wouldn't believe how much money we give away to help the poor. You wouldn't believe all the things we do. Well, Jesus believes it. But he also knows your motive behind it. And that, folks, is what counts more than the act itself. Are we doing what we do out of love and obedience and to bring glory to God instead of to self? That is the key to being a godly person. A godly person brings glory to God, not to self. This is so relevant to today. We see even some of the people that call themselves Democratic Socialists or Socialist Democrats, however they say that, now using scripture and talking about how pious they are. I'm sorry. You can't in one breath say kill all the babies even up to the time they're born, and in the next breath say praise God. Those two things do not go together. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work. You can't say that I'm a godly person and then say, oh, but we need to have same-sex marriage. More of it, more of it, more of it. We need to teach our children how to become homosexuals. And then turn around and say, praise the good Lord. No, I'm sorry. That just does not work. The two cannot be combined. It's an oxymoron. There is no such thing as a socialist Christian, folks. No such thing. Does not exist. Some people may claim it, but heaven does not record it. Amen. That is a matter of being like a Pharisee, Pharisaic, we could say. They're being Pharisaic. They are pretending. They have a pretense. And on the outer edge, just like in the meditation this morning, which, by the way, Jim went very well with this message. Thank you. I don't know if you researched it that way or not, but praise the Lord. Because what the world says, that's true. Just be nice, respectable, you know, pay your bills and do the best you can. In other words, be an honorable person. Well, I'll tell you, folks, some of the atheists that I have known over the years were a lot more moral than a lot of the Christians I know. Isn't that sad? And if you've met very many atheists, you know that that's true, because you've met some too that are very respectable people. They're very respectful people. They treat you with respect. But when you get down to motives as to why, they want to leave behind a name for themselves. They want to be remembered because that's all there is. I remember one guy in particular going into that with me in depth. Well, I want to leave a legacy, because when I die, that's it. That's all there is. So the only way that I can show that I ever existed is if I accomplish some great thing and it's recorded. And then I'll be remembered. And I told him, I said, well, that's a good goal. And I'll pray for you that you accomplish it. But I'm also going to pray that you understand that there's something much more important. He said, what? I said, having your name written in the book of life. He said, what's that? He didn't know what the book of life was. And I told him, and he said, wow, that sounds good. Well, I said, well, it's easy. All you have to do is become a believer. Nah, I couldn't do that. It's as far as I could go with it. But we planted that seed, right? We planted that seed. And on the outside, if you look at these people on the outside, their actions, their lives look good. It looks like they've got it all together. It looks like that they can achieve the whole world if they set their heart out to do it, because they're smart, they have a high intellect, they often are good-looking people, and you know, all the things seem to be in their favor, on their side. But then when things get tough, when someone in their family gets sick and is dying, then they find that, wow, I don't have an answer for this. What should I do here? I'm going to really miss them. I mean, this is it. They're going to die, and that's going to be it. It's going to be over. One conversation I had with that atheist one day was about that very thing. And he said, well, I have to admit, I am envious of you, because I know that you believe when you die, you don't really die. You keep living. And you go to a nice place. He said, I wish I could believe that. I said, you can. He said, no, there's no proof. I said, some things don't require proof. They require belief. He said, I don't see things that way. I said, okay, where's your wife right now? He said, she's at work. I said, how do you know? She told me, and I know where she works every day. I said, but how do you know she's there right now, not in the arms of another man? I said, you trust her. You believe what she said. I said, I trust Jesus, and I believe what he said, and you can too. And he stopped me right there. He said, that's enough of that. So these Pharisees wanted to have the outward appearance of being godlike. They wanted people to look up to them. They wanted people to see how important they were. In other words, all of the glory, all of the attention was on them, not on the God they served. And I wonder, folks, if we took a close look under the microscope of our lives, would it come out that what we're doing and why we're doing it is for the glory of God? Or is it for selfish reasons? I have learned that I really like my comfort. Someone asked me, invited me to go to Africa. I've been invited several times to go to Africa. And I know that's not my calling. That's why I didn't go. But when I thought about it, I thought, man, these people live in little huts. They don't have electricity. They don't have lights. They probably don't even have cell phone service. What would I do? And then I realized how pitiful for me to think that way. Is my trust in God or in the blessings from God? Our nation is in trouble because all the blessings of God became so plentiful that we forgot about the God who gave them. That's the same thing that happened to Israel, folks. And we need to be aware that Israel was judged. Israel was warned first many, many times over hundreds of years. Prophet after prophet came and told them to return, to come back to God. But they ignored it. You know, those of you who are familiar with Jonathan Cahn and have read his books, The Harbinger especially right now is what I'm talking about. He showed how 9/11 was a harbinger and how our leaders in this nation quoted Isaiah 9:10, unaware of the fact that they were bringing judgment upon our nation by doing so. And this day of prayer that we had yesterday, but it's more than a day. Remember, he said it's a time. The 10 days of awe on the Jewish calendar began on the 18th of this month and ends on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which will be tomorrow, the 28th. It will be the Day of Atonement on the Jewish calendar. And I would like for us as a church, as a people, as a nation, to continue praying until something happens. You know, we used to set up down at the park for old settlers, and we gave little things out, and we had these bracelets. And one year we got a bunch of bracelets that said push on it. P period, U period, S period, H period. And none of us knew what it was. And we thought, that's kind of strange. So we looked it up. And that's what it stands for. Pray until something happens. And folks, that's what we need to do. If we're serious about getting right with God, then we don't go about business as usual. We go about God's business. We go to Him. And we stay there in the throne room with Him until He says, all right, I hear. Let's do this. Your heart is now ready to receive what I want to give. So folks, let's continue. I pray that we are not Pharisaic, but genuine in our faith, seeking God, seeking to glorify God. But all of us know our own motives. All of us know our own heart. Just you and the Lord. No one else. You see, I can be hurting terribly, physically or emotionally, but still be smiling on the outside, and you wouldn't know. In fact, I recently knew of a person who was one of the outwardly happiest person I ever met, and they committed suicide. And still, no one knows why. Because this person always appeared to be happy, joyful. But something the devil got to. Somehow the devil got in there. And they were pretending. Folks, let's not pretend. If we have a need this morning, come and mind the Lord as we sing. Brother Bob.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior. If you do have a need this morning, a need for prayer, for healing, if you feel a need to confess Christ as your Savior, give your life to Him. If you are not a member of this church and would like to place your influence here, come as we sing. Let's stand. Not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Cover the announcements. Is there anything going on that we need to be aware of, Mitch?
Bible study at 5 tonight.
Okay. Ready?
And there's a meeting right after church for the Christmas. Okay,
I wasn't sure whether we're meeting or not. So anyone, that's the committee, right? Steering committee.
Everybody, I think. Mark?
Yeah, I think one of them wants to attend.
Good. All righty. Taking a look at the prayer list.
All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for visiting with us this morning. Your word's very clear. Where two or more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So thank you for being here with us. Thank you for the praise reports. And Lord, we pray for those who were mentioned on the list and those to be added, the families that are grieving. Lord, we ask for your grace to touch them. Lord, we pray that those who died in Christ. But Lord, nonetheless, we pray for strength and for grace. Lord, we thank you that your precious promises are always true, and we can count on you. So Lord, as we leave here today, let us hold these precious promises in your word in our heart and share them with others, and to give you glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Joy dares with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God.
Have a blessed day.